Welcome to Scout Trout Radio, home of the elite next college student athlete. Today, I'm going to talk about a college football preview. That's in my former hometown of Fort Collins, Colorado, going on at Canvas Stadium. The Hawaii Warriors at Colorado State Rams on August 25th at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Time on CBS Sports Network. Their stadium is beautiful. I've seen it firsthand. It's like state-of-the-art. It looks something like futuristic. Shout out to New Belgium Brewing for the best beer on the planet. I don't really drink beer, alcohol that much, but if I'm going to have a beer, it's going to be a New Belgium beer. Hawaii has to travel to Fort Collins, which, you know, living there for as long as I did and losing a bunch of weight, it's a different climate and altitude. The altitude is like 5,000 to 8,000 feet in the air, and really it's hard to adjust to at first until you get ready, you know, especially athletically. Just normally people have trouble. You can't really drink as much as you normally would at like sea level. You need to drink a lot of water, not alcohol, and a lot of other things that affect people that aren't playing football or, you know, performing in athletics. But athletically, it does a lot of different things helpful for you in the long term, but in the like short term, it's hard to deal with. So we'll see if the Warriors, we'll see how well conditioned they are this season. I know that's something they pride themselves on, is playing fast and being well conditioned. So Coach Nick Rovelich is planning on bringing the run and shoot offense back to the Hawaii Warriors. It's been run there for years. I didn't know it left last year. I guess I missed the memo. June Jones is the one known for the run and shoot. I've heard from a lot of multiple sources that Norm Chow was the one who created it and kind of evolved through the USFL back in the day, the league my father played in with the Philadelphia Baltimore Stars. But they weren't responsible. I think it was Houston or San Antonio with the Gamblers for inventing the run and shoot offense in the early 80s. Offense had a lot of things going for it for a while. It did really well, put up a lot of huge offensive numbers. It requires a really good quarterback, a special quarterback with a very quick release who can really sling it, you know, effectively and be able to read his keys. It's all about reading, you know, certain areas of the field and where what's open really, and both the receiver and quarterback being on the same page. And that, you know, is hard to find and be able to teach. So they do a good job at Hawaii teaching the run and shoot offense. There's been a lot of variations over the years of the offense that have evolved out of it. A lot of air raid concepts and stuff like that. Five wide, four wide. You know, the spread, you know, has a lot of more option in it and stuff like that. But there's a lot of read stuff in there that some teams run that come from the same type of idea that the run and shoot's using on every single play of a football game pretty much. And it's up-tempo. I found a video of Colt Brennan, which was really interesting to me. He's probably the best I've ever seen run it. I didn't see Chang run it too much, but I know he put up a lot of yards as well. I remember him. This year, Hawaii has Cole McDonald, who beat out a lot of different quarterbacks this year. And, you know, that transferred into Hawaii and stuff like that. He looks like he's going to be a really good quarterback. He's just a quick release. I watched his high school tape. Very quick feet, good feet in the pocket. Throws the ball well. But, you know, we'll see how he is able to run the run and shoot. June Jones, I found a video of him actually breaking it down play by play, you know, I mean, key by key, where to line up, what to look for, and stuff like that. I also talked a little bit about it on my article, College Football Offensive Schemes. So, really, it's a the key thing to me was does Hawaii have the talent to operate the run and shoot efficiently? And when I look at it, they have the two players you really need, a quarterback and a slot that can really, excel. So yeah, they could. It's going to be a lot on them. We're going to see they're young this year, they're rebuilding. The run and shoot has now seen, a lot of zone blitzing concepts that have nearly, left this historic offense that was a product of, like I said, the USFL. There have been many other variations, like I said, the air raid and stuff. If the proper reads are not made and or the receiving QB are not on the same page, this offense can produce many turnovers. In high scoring affairs, defenses who can create the most turnovers for their team normally will reign supreme. Colorado State, that's going to be the main thing for them, is trying to make turnovers. It doesn't matter how many yards they put up, if you can create takeaways. You can put up, I've seen guys put up 500, 600 yards of offense and still throw, two, three crucial interceptions that are taken for touchdowns that end up being the difference in the game for the other team. So, Colorado State has not been good at covering the passing game the past, 10, 11 years. It's been a while. They haven't cracked the top 80 in passing defense, so or defense overall. So it's going to be an interesting matchup, honestly, for the first game of the season when you look at it and you look at, how young both teams are, but then there are some key players at key positions that are going to, make a impact right away. Like as last year, John Ursua was compared to Jerry Rice by one coach he played against, which was extremely impressive for him to be compared to such a, a historically, great wide receiver, a legend who supposedly ran a 4.6 wide, 40-yard dash, and I don't know if it's true or not. I've heard it a lot from guys, and wouldn't get drafted today because he just ran perfect routes, had a great career in the NFL. So, yeah, since 2006 is the last time Colorado State had a defense in the top 80. Really, the Warriors are going to come out, with the pass-heavy run and shoot offense that has been, diminished in some respect nationally, but the fact that the Rams have struggled tremendously, in defending the pass over the past 11 seasons, it's not really a good sign, and it's going to leave the Colorado State Rams really high and dry in the end when you look at it. So the Rams are looking for a breakout season, though, because some insider recruiting information I have, they've obtained 52 three-star recruits over the past 3 years, according to SB Nation, which is not the inside information. I seen a great tweet the other day by one of my former friends, George Hilo, who is the safeties coach now for Colorado State football. He's a very good recruiter. All the areas those three-star guys came from are areas he recruits. He's always looking for great ball players because he knows really good talent when he sees it after playing at Hargrave Military Academy with Coach Prunty and at Ole Miss and coaching at Georgia, I think Florida State for a little bit. He might have even been in Alabama as a GA working his way up, and now he's at Colorado State with Coach Bobo. I think he's after spending some time at Georgia with him. So he posted, what it takes to be a Ram. And it's like the edge. It's on collegefootballtoday.com or collegefootballtoday.org. It takes a relentless commitment to effort, discipline, gratitude, and excuse-free. That's what edge stands for. So it's an interesting look at it. I looked at Boulder's. It was really good. CU. I'm going to be covering both teams with coach, president, quarterback Maddie Sperling. In Colorado, we're gonna be living in Boulder. So let's talk a little about effort. This is for the scout trout prospects that are in our pipeline program. Effort, that really is pretty easy. wake up every day. We talk about that in defining your process. We get a little more into it than and then discipline. If the Rams can play with discipline against Hawaii and, run the right schemes to stop the run and shoot, and the players identify their keys and disguise things a little more as the offense is reading you. So if you can show one thing and then come back and do another thing, that's how you get pick sixes to the house. So think about that. And while you're out there, after you get that pick six, think about the gratitude you're showing for playing in that beautiful, brand new, multi-gazillion dollar stadium. And then, which we linked as well, in articles to the CSU Collegian. Shout out to the CSU Collegian. Excuse free. That's an easy one too. You're gonna mess up. You're gonna make the wrong read. You're gonna turn your head the wrong way. Because I watched the run and shoot getting stalled firsthand in Minnesota by Norm Chow's cousin, and that's why I put him in here. I've heard a lot about him because like the coach that recruited me up, my players up there to go, and then I kind of followed him just to go make sure they were okay. I ran into the run and shoot. I didn't think it was that hard to stop, but it was just being installed early in camp. But they were like 2 3 weeks into it, and honestly, defense was ready to play. And I watched like 12, 15 plays in a row, nothing, 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 nothing. Then they finally get something, and it's just about reading and reacting. But if if you're stopping them before they get going, you're gonna have to really work on your press coverage in camp, work on jam technique, all that stuff. Their receivers are quick, they're nimble. Watch out for Osawa. He's probably going to be a big time receiver in the NFL from what I'm told. Johnny is one of that's the real Johnny Football in Hawaii. That kid can ball, so I watched his highlights. You're going to have to key on him. He's going to be operating that offense to a T out of all over the field. A lot of go routes, a lot of outs, a lot of go routes, a lot of outs. They're reading something though. So always know that. Always know there's keying on one guy. So make sure that one guy knows what the heck he's doing or it's going to be toast. Toast. Because once you get burned on it, you get burned. And they really want you to come up. So come up, come up, come up, and they're going to hit you on one of them goes. So I watched it a few times. Shannon Patrick operated it very, very well once he learned it and earned a scholarship to Division I scholarship to Arkansas Pine Bluff. So congratulations to him, coming from a small, JUCO school in Minnesota with a lot of adversity, a lot of injuries throughout the season. So he did well, and he did well in camp. I had a lot of up close footage of him. I thought he was a great kid, great quarterback. And he's going to do, he is doing very well at Arkansas Pine Bluff. So, the run and shoot can be defense, though. It can't be stopped. And we're going to see if Colorado State is up to the challenge. I'm sure that, it's not going to be the normal, just basic run and shoot that it was back, 10 years ago. I know Coach Nick Rolovich knows what he's doing. So I'm sure there's going to be some intricacies in it. There's going to be some, updates, like any good college coach throws into an offense. So I'm interested to see the new Nick Rolovich run and shoot because he was a great operator of it. Top 10 passing yards, I think, all time. He's a really good quarterback, too. So growing up watching Hawaii football, it was one of the offenses I envied, as a quarterback that I always want to play in. Just, sling it all over the field, do everything. But then now that I know more about it, I'd rather run spread, just because, I like to make my own scanning a lot of more of the field and have different things like that. But that's also the offensive coordinator in me. And honestly, if I showed up to camp and I had a bunch of 5'5" receivers, 5'6", 5'8", whatever, we might run a lot of run and shoot because, it's all about personnel to me and what is there and available on whatever team you're coaching, because you honestly in coaching, you know, I watched a lot of guys change jobs a lot. So, that being said, it's going to be fun traveling to Colorado. We have a lot of stops on the way. I first want to go to Hershey, Pennsylvania. I was supposed to see him, but then I got caught up here on the Scout Trout road trip. Anthony Zimmerman, number one linebacker, class of 2020, the number one quarterback in the country, class of 19, Tanner Rickel, is en route. Because Joe Jackson is en route, and I might stop and talk to his running back for class of 2020 out of Richwoods, Illinois, Jamon. And then I would like to see number, I forget what Joe Jackson's ranked, but he's like a top 50 prospect overall at safety, very highly ranked, amazing, head on his shoulders, very good learner, good athlete. His brother plays at St. Francis in the NAIA with Lachlan Poor, who was in my pipeline program, think class of 17, and he's from Australia. You can look him up. He played in like the national rugby stuff and the national American football. Like Olympic stuff where they beat China, they beat Australia. I think they actually beat the United States. Like they had a really good team that year, and he was at the helm. It's very hard to get international players scholarships to the next level because you don't get the FAFSA. That's if you want to really break it down. NAIA level will give you scholarships. I mean, if you are a phenomenal athlete, you will get get a scholarship, but they'll have to pay a lot of football money. But you don't get the financial aid. There's a lot of other things you got to go through too. So, know that as foreign, I have a lot of people that listen to our radio show all over the world, about 40 countries now. If you're trying to play, American pro football, there's a lot of opportunities nowadays to try and move up through the ranks differently than just going through college. In my opinion, it's harder, but if you stand out, you stand out. So, the new American Alliance Football League looks like it's starting up. Bill Polian is running that. It looks like he's doing some stuff with that. A lot of big name people. Vince McMahon looks like he's starting back up the XFL. Good luck, Vince McMahon, with that. I think it's because NFL views have dropped. There's some business people that are looking at the opportunity and for another rising football league like the USFL used to be as a true competitor to the NFL's, model, really their money. So, spring football, any other kind of big time football league is not good to anybody else's, same thing. So it's just like Walmart moving in down the street when you have a bunch of local grocers and stuff. There's a lot of different things to it that add up though for spring football. I love spring football. I love the USFL. I love the NFL. I love football, all of it, so it really don't matter to me. But there's nothing wrong with having football year round either. The American Alliance concept seems to be more on an NBA DL level, like the developmental league for the NFL that we played in the spring. Guys can move up and down, blah 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 blah. The XFL, he seems to have that more Donald Trump mentality like he did with the USFL. I'm gonna monopolize, I'm gonna take over. Stuff. If you don't know anything about that, ESPN did a 30 for 30 on it. That was really interesting. There's more news out there how it was done. My father played for the Philadelphia Baltimore Stars, as I said earlier, so with Coach Jim Mora, and I just learned a lot about how the league ended, why it ended, because it was on the rise. Doug Flutie played in that league, Reggie White, Steve Young, Herschel Walker. The list goes on and on of the actual NFL Hall of Fame guys. They used to get every Heisman Trophy winner after college, like Marcus Dupree and guys like that, every year, and the NFL didn't like it a lot. So, I mean, it was really Donald Trump who went up against him up against the NFL for sue them for monopolizing. And from what they said, he won the case, but they awarded him $1 or something, and he just quit. So folded up, everything folded, and that was it for the USFL. And it actually ruined like a lot of people's like football teams and stuff like that, and lives that didn't make the transition over to the NFL. But that being said, Colorado State is going to do well this season. I think they're going to do a little better than last season. They were 7-6. I think they got enough to beat Hawaii this year, with what I've seen in the injuries. But it's all going to come down to, like I said, can they defense the run and shoot? I haven't looked a lot into their defense, but from what I'm told, the defense is strong. George Hilo is the safeties coach, so I'm putting it all on you, Coach Hilo. You better coach them safeties up on how to defend and run and shoot. I'll be in Fort Collins, anytime. I'll actually be in Boulder by August 1st. I'm trying to be like moved in and getting somewhere out there to get ready to cover you guys and cover the University of Colorado, which will lead me to the next game, which is the Rocky Mountain Showdown. It's a classic. It's really big game in Colorado. It's kind of like Auburn, Alabama, for the Alabama fans, that well, many Alabama fans we deal with. Colorado State actually played Alabama last year. It was a big deal because of the new stadium. It's going to be a great experience getting to see all of that, getting to be back in Fort Collins and see some of the people I know and interview fans and talk about it. We're actually going to have a fan vote on the College Football Today Top 25, which is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be informative. It's going to be, you guys are going to break a lot of tiebreakers, really, for me, in that respect. So back to, Scout Trout, All-American stuff. I started the teaching a little earlier this year in a way, online, on the news feed. Everybody can see it, but it's just basics, okay? So this is the basic formations that we're gonna run that are on the article on the news feed titled Intro to College Football Offenses, Offensive Formations and Schemes. So on this article, I covered like pretty much all the ones I'm gonna use in the All-American Bowl. There's the air raid stuff too. I use a lot of that, but it's not, a lot of the concepts to this stuff is more, how it's done, where it's fast tempo, where you call plays in the huddle, a lot of that kind of stuff too. So, I have some cool things that I would do personally. I am not going to talk about it on the radio, because if I ever coached college football, there's a certain thing I do a certain way. I could get everybody the ball without calling a play or, really doing anything much, just have everybody on the same page. But it's way more, it's not complicated in my opinion, but it's more complex than the run and shoot because it's never been done before. So they would line up and do a lot of things, just read, 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 read. But there's a lot of other things to this one. But the power run game, that's pretty easy. You look at, power eye, offset eye, strong eye, weak eye, those kind of formations and stuff like that. We run a lot of speed option. Spread option is like one of the main offenses run today in college football because you have a lot of dual threat quarterbacks. That's why people like them. They're the best athlete they can find, back there to run that type of offense. And many of them can throw very well too, like Lamar Jackson was. So triple option, I said Air Force, Navy, Georgia Tech, they predominantly use these offenses. It's about methodically, moving the ball downfield, ball control, all that cool stuff. I hate playing defense against those type of offenses, but they will wear you down. They will lull you to sleep. They will run the clock and keep your playmakers on offense off the field. There's a lot of good things that if you need to use that strategy that can come out of it. It's just boring to watch, boring to play against, but it actually can work very effectively if you're that type of personnel and that ball club. So wing back slots and all purpose backs, they can be sent in motion or at least downfield on mostly play action style routes, pro style. And that brings me to the run and shoot. I wrote in an article, and I missed Tavon Austin's with the Dallas Cowboys now because I said he's with the Rams, but congratulations, Tavon, getting with the America's favorite team. You're better than Dez Bryant. But anyway, the West Virginia lost his last seven games after winning his first, six. If you're going to run an offense based off of alignment and reading while reacting, you better have a game plan for when you come up against the best, very good press coverage. I've seen a lot of that used against West Virginia in those games. That's going to be a main thing, for Colorado State. Not just like I'm not just talking about press coverage. The rules state inside of 5 yards, you can do whatever you want to the wide receiver. Just can't hold him. You can't like grab his jersey. Same kind of rules of alignment, but you can bump him. You can jab him with your hand. You can come up and just I've seen guys throw him out of bounds. Do it with the pads on though. These 7-on-7 and 1-on-1 stuff. When I see guys do it, it kind of just like okay. You're trying to act all tough because I haven't seen you do that on film once the pads are on. If you're gonna do it in 7-on-7 and throw a guy on his back with no pads on, you better be able to do it in a game or you're nothing. So you're just a punk, really. I've seen that a lot on Twitter, just guys just 1-on-1. So that no need for that. Do it when the pads are on, though. Get under his pads. And flip them out of bounds. It ain't hard if you're taught the right, proper hand placement and you're quick off the ball. Same type of principles, as linemen have really. If in linebackers and know how to play with your hands. So, timing offense can easily stop though, and that's what I'm saying about it. Really, there's a lot of different things that you're gonna see in that offense, in that whole repertoire of plays that they have at Hawaii. They will run the ball, here and there. They have screen passes out of it, a lot of stuff like that. So that's really, in my opinion, that's why I talked about that today. That's what is good, really going to come down to is stopping that offense that if you don't know what you're doing, they're going to score 60, 70 points. If you do know what you're doing, it's a wrap. You win, create a lot of turnovers, and everybody's happy in the brand new stadium, Fort Collins, Colorado, that Colorado State has begun to pay off their $231 million debt. I think I might be off on that number, but over $200 million debt, and good luck on that. It's a lot of money, but the stadium is producing more revenue than the stadium did in the mountains that I used to train by. Videos are probably way down there on Instagram, but I used to train at Poudre Canyon. It's where I got really fast and hopping from rock to rock and working on vertical leap and broad jump uphill, like in the altitude. So it was a lot of fun. Can't wait to go back and see Colorado State play Hawaii. I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be a good tune-up for Colorado State too because they're going to see a lot of passing. They're going to meet one of the better teams in the Pac-12 this year, the Colorado Boulder Buffaloes, who will be that'll be the Buffaloes' first game. So they're going to be very well rested. They're going to be more healthy, hopefully. They didn't get banged up in camp. Camp always has injuries too, but you guys got one game under your belt. Stay healthy for that. And then it's looks like Hawaii, my prediction, I don't think CSU will cover the spread. I think it's gonna be a closer game than people think. And but they will win. I'm saying with the new quarterback from Washington, KJ, he looks good on film. I'm going in the tight end from last year. I'm saying 30-27 Colorado State. You heard it first.